Today's Shir Masechta Yevamos, Daf Ayin Aleph. We will begin on Daf Ayin Aleph, Amud Aleph, 11 lines from the top. In the previous Shir, we had learned that a kohen who's an oral may not eat truma. And the Gemara had taught us the way we know that, because there's a Gzeirah Shava. The Gemara explained the Gzeirah Shava quite extensively. But the Gemara said there's a Gzeirah Shava that connects the halachas of Korban Pesach to the halacha of Truma. And just like the halacha is that one who is an oral may not eat from the Korban Pesach, so too is the halacha, the one who is an oral may not eat Truma. But we also learned in the previous year, the Rabbi Kiva, Eimer, Rabbi Kiva said, Ein Tzarech, we don't need to rely on this Gzeirah Shava. Rather, we know that an oral may not eat Truma, because Hareyu Eimer, because the Pasuk says, Ish, Mizar Aaron Vutzuru Azor B'Kotchim LaYachol. So he says the Gemara, says Rabbi Kiva, the rabbis is oral. It comes to teach us that an oral may not eat from Truma. Vema asked the Gemara, the rabbis is Simon. Yes, the Pasuk is coming to include another individual who may not eat from the Truma. But maybe whom the Torah is coming to add is that an oinen may not eat from Truma. Amar Rabbi Yosef Chanina, Amar Krav, Kol Zara La Yechel Kodesh. To teach us, Zara Samaranti Lecha, a person who's not a Kohen may not eat from the Truma, V'loy Aninus, but somebody who's an oinen may eat from the Truma. Ask the Gemara, but maybe say, Eimo V'loy Arelis, maybe what the Pasuk is coming to teach us, that an oral may eat from the Truma. Says the Gemara, no, Haksiv Ish. And we've learned from Ish that an oral may not eat from the Truma. So ask the Gemara the obvious question, Umari Isa. In other words, there are two psukim. One Pasuk is coming to include an individual who may not eat from Truma, and one Pasuk is coming to teach us to exclude an individual who may not eat from the Truma. So ask the Gemara, why are we including the oral as a person who may not eat, and the oinen as a person who may eat? Maybe we should say the other way, and maybe ask the Gemara da halacha to be that an oral could eat Truma, and an oinen may not eat Truma. Umari Isa asked the Gemara, why are we learning it this way? Answers the Gemara, Mestaba Reilis Havel Rebuye. It makes more sense to say that the Pasuk of Ish, which is coming to exclude somebody from being able to eat Truma, is referring to the oral. Shekain, Masim, Krusim, Bedover, whoever. And the Gemara explains each one of them. Mechusim Maisa, an oral to become qualified to be able to eat from the Truma has to go through the procedure of a Mila, Maisa Begufa, and the Maisa that has to be done is something that's done to his body itself. The Mila is obviously done to the person himself, and Onish Karis, somebody who doesn't have a Bris Mila, we know is Chayiv Karis, V'yeshtam Lefnei Adibar, and the mitzvah of Mila was already given to Avram Avinu before Matan Torah. V'mila Sechar V'avadim HaKeves. We find a very interesting halacha that if somebody did not do a Bris Mila on his Avadim or on his children, he may not eat from the Korban Pesach. So these are very unique chumras that apply to the mitzvahs of Mila and Arla. And that's why the Gemara is saying, if the Torah wanted to exclude someone who has some sort of disqualification from eating from the Truma, it must be referring to the Oral. Ask the Gemara, but we can make a counter-argument. Adrabba, we can make a counter-argument and say, Aninas Havale Rebuye, that we should say that the person that is excluded from eating the Truma is an Oinen, because the Oinen has all these various chumras. Shekein yeshna b'kol shah, the oinen could become an oinen more than once. An oral is only an oral until he didn't have a bris mila. But once he has the bris mila, he's no longer an oral. a person to become an einan for every one of the close relatives for which he becomes an einan. Furthermore, Nahegas v'nashim, aninus applies to men and women. Arelis obviously only applies to men. Vein biyad l'sakin atzmai. An arelis is something that could be corrected. If somebody is an oral, we'll make a bris milah and he'll be fine. But if somebody is an einan, it's not in his control, in hands to control. Answers the Gemara, Hanach Nefishin. Even though we were able to identify certain chumris that apply by aninus that don't apply by oral, says the Gemara, the amount of chumris that they are by an oral over an einan are more. So because of that, the Gemara is assuming that's why we're going to say it's the oral who's excluded from eating truma and not the einan. Says the Gemara, Rav Amar, without just reducing itself to account, b'loy hanach nefishin, nami le'motzitz amrit. Even if we're not going to make a count, it makes sense to say that the oral is the person who can't eat from the truma and the einan may, because the pasuk says amakra ish. The pasuk that teaches us that there's a certain disqualification that makes you disqualify from eating truma is introduced with the words ish. Says the Gemara, Ezo Dover, what is the disqualification? Sheyeshna be'ish ve'ena be'isha, that only applies by males and not by females. Havai mazarelis. So it's clearly that pasuk that's coming to include another individual for not being able to eat the truma must be speaking about a relis, which is a issue that affects men. So as we said at the beginning of our shir, as we learned in our previous shir, Rabbi Kiva learned that an oral may not eat truma from this limud, ish. But Rabbi Lazar, in our previous shir, learned it from the Gzeres Shava of Toshe V'Sachar. And not only do we have a Gzeres Shava of Toshe V'Sachar, we actually suggested that Toshe V'Sachar were extra, both words were extra when they're taught in the subject of Korban Pesach, and that's why they were available to teach us a Gzeres Shava that an oral may not eat from Truma, just like an oral may not eat from a Korban Pesach. Ask the Gemara, Rabbi Kiva, hi Tosh V'Sacha, my Avadli. Rabbi Kiva, that doesn't rely, need that Tosh V'Sacha to teach us this halacha. So ask the Gemara, what will he do with those words? Answers the Gemara, Amr of Shmaya, Lesui Aravi Mol, that we have an Aravi who had a bris milah, which was their custom, that they have a bris milah, or Gavaini, which also it was their custom. The Maraz means doesn't necessarily, as the Rishonim say, that any Nachri, that even if the Nachri had a bris milah, it doesn't make a difference. And the Gemara picks these people because these were the people whose custom was to have a bris milah. So the Rishonim ask, the Rosh and other Rishonim, the Rashba, the Ritva, ask, why do we need a pasuk to tell us that if somebody's a non-Jew and he had a bris milah, he doesn't eat the Korban Pesach? Actually, we know that even if somebody is a Jew and he had a bris milah, but if he's a mumer, he's an apikiris, he's not allowed to eat from the Korban Pesach. As the pasuk says, as we discussed also in our previous year, Kol b'necha lo yoichel ba. So why do I need a pasuk? Why would I think that a non-Jew should be able to eat from the Korban Pesach? So they answer, it could be that a Yisrael who's doing the wrong thing is worse than a guy. A non-Jew is not expected. There's no expectations from him. So we would think that maybe these people should be allowed to eat from the Korban Pesach. But a Jew who's a mumer, who's doing the wrong thing, maybe he is even worse than an Akum, particularly an Akum that had a bris milah. And that's why the Torah teaches us that's why we have to have this limud. Although the Chassam Sofer, the Shalos Tshuvos Chassam Sofer, Chelek Zayin, Simon Memhei says that if an Akum eats from a Korban Pesach, he is considered a gazlan. He's considered that he stole something because he's not entitled to eat something. He's not allowed to eat from the Korban Pesach. And if he's not entitled to eat from the Korban Pesach and he eats from it, he is considered a gazlan. Ask the Gemara, but just because an Akum, an Aravi, a Gavoni, ask the Gemara, went through the procedure of having a bris milah, ask the Gemara, for hani mulaninu, are they considered mulin? For Tanan, does not the Mishnah Masechta Nedarim teach us? If somebody says, kainim sheinenani l'ireilim, kainim is the way and neder is articulated. Kainim is like the same word as a carbon. Just like we're not allowed to have benefits from a carbon. If somebody uses the word kainim, he's making a neder that he's not allowed to have benefit. And the Mishnah teaches us that if somebody says, kainim sheinenani l'ireilim, I won't have any benefit from a reilim. The loch is also barel Yisrael. Even if you have a Jew that did not have a bris milah, he may have benefit from that Jew. And if you have an akum that had a bris milah, he's still considered an akum. Vice versa, if somebody declared, kainim shani nena lamulim, I won't have any benefit from mulim. The loch is mutab mulay of the kachavim. Even if you'll have an over kachavim who had a bris, he's not considered mulim, and therefore you'll be able to have benefit from him. Because we see that the nachrim are always considered areilim, and the Yisraelim are always considered, and the Yisraelim are always considered mulim. So why would we think that a nachri, just because he had a bris, the halacha is that he should maybe be allowed to eat from the Karban Pesach? He's still, as that Mishnah taught us, considered an oral. So the Rishonim ask a question. How is the Gemara bringing a Rayi here from Hilchos Nedarim? The Gemara often in Masechta Nedarim teaches us that when we want to understand a neder that's expressed, the halacha is we go halach achalosh mnei adam. We follow the way people normally speak. So when we're speaking, when we're talking about how people express themselves, mulim always means Yisrael, areilim always means an akum. But what does that have to do? What does that have to do with what we're talking about regarding Hilchos Korban Pesach? Says so the Rishonim answer that the pasuk says ki kol agoyim areilim. A pasuk in Yirmiyahu, Perek Tes, pasuk Chaf Hei. What does the pasuk say? That kol agoyim, even if you'll have a goy that did have a bris milah, the Torah is telling us he's still considered a reilim. Furthermore, how could the Torah, how could we say that a Yisrael that did not have a bris milah is called mulim? Haven't we learning over the last couple of days that if Yisrael and did not have a bris milah, he's not allowed to eat from the carbon? Say to Rishonim, when a Yisrael is not allowed to eat from a, who is an oral, who is not allowed to eat from the carbon Pesach, is not because he is an oral. A Yisrael is never considered an oral. There's a technical issue. In order for Yisrael to be able to eat from a Karan Pesach, even though we don't call him an Arul, he didn't have a Bris Milah. And someone who didn't have a Bris Milah is not allowed to eat from the Karan Pesach. Ella, says the Gemara, so we're back to where we started. It doesn't make sense to say, says the Gemara, that the Pasuk is coming to teach us that a Akum that had a Bris Milah should be allowed to eat from the Karan Pesach, that I need to have a Pasuk to say that he may not. Says the Gemara, what's the pasuk come to teach us? According to Rabbi Akiva, the pasuk of Taish V'Sachar, to teach us a ger shemal v'loy taval. If a ger went through milah, but did not have tefillah yet, or a katan shenayel k'shemal, or a child that was born when he already had a bris milah, even though he already had the bris milah, he may not eat from the Korban Pesach, tzarech latav menadam bris. We have to have some blood expressed from him. And as the Rishonim explained, we learned earlier in our Masechta, on Daf Mem Vav Amun Aleph, that according to the Chachamim, that in order for a Nachri to go through a Geiris, he has to have Mila V'Tfilah. And missing the Mila V'Tfilah prevents him from being considered a full-fledged Jew. Why does a person have to have Hatavas Tambris if he was born already circumcised? Because we always have to be concerned, explain the Meiri, that there is some foreskin there, and therefore, since there is some foreskin there, we have to take that off. But that one opens up a question. So yes, when we have a child that was born mohol, so we have to be concerned that maybe there is some foreskin, that maybe there is some arla that we didn't notice. But ask the Rishonim, what's going to be the halacha when we have a non-Jew who, while he was still a non-Jew, went through a full-fledged circumcision? What will be the halacha? Now he becomes a Jew, and of course he has tefillah. Will he require to have a bris milah? So of course the halacha is he has to have a tavastan bris. What's going to be the halacha if he didn't have tavast bram bris? Will he be able to eat from the Karan Pesach? The Behag holds that he's also to eat from the Karan Pesach. The Miri says he may. And the Miri is very much following his opinion. Because the Miri we just learned says that the reason you have to have a tavastan bris on a child that's born ready with a milah is because we have to be concerned that there's an orla kavusha. But we have an individual where there is no such a concern that he has orla kavusha. We know he went through a circumcision. So says the Meiri, there's no point in making a bris on somebody who we know, doesn't have any issue. So how do we understand the other opinion, the opinion of the Behag? And furthermore, how do we understand that that there's no question that everybody agrees that if a guy had a bris milah, he's supposed to have a tavastan bris when he becomes a Jew? How do we understand that halacha? So Yosef Engel explains that there are two elements, he explains, when we speak about a bris. One is a physical element, to remove the arla, to remove the foreskin. But Sam explains Rabbi Yosef Engel, the milah has another purpose. The milah removes the person from having a tumas akum. A person that's born as a non-Jew has a certain level, and there's a procedure how to remove that. The procedure is with milah and tefillah. So he can't have a full-fledged milah because he already had the bris milah, but he has to have some sort of atafistan bris. And the purpose of having that atafistan bris is to remove any level of akum that's still connected to him. So ask the Gemara. Rebbe Lezer, that holds, that he learns from the pasuk of Toshev Sachar, that an oral, that's the Gzeir Shavah, to teach us that just like an oral may not eat from the Karan Pesach, he may not eat from the Truma, Latamei, he says, Ger Shemav Leitavel, he holds that if he had Mila without Tefillah, Ger Mal Yehu, Kesavar, and he also holds, Katna Shanoi Lemol, a child that was born already with a Bris Mila, Ain it sarach lahatav dam bris? You don't have to have hatavas bris, and therefore we don't need the pasuk to teach us that. But now, ask the Gemara. We started the shir with saying that has Rabbi Kiva know that an oral may not eat truma? He learns it from the pasuk of ish ish. Ask the Gemara, Rabbi Leza, hi ish ish my avlei. What will Rabbi Leza learn from that ish? Says the Gemara, he actually doesn't learn anything. Dibre Torah kolashim nei adam. And the Michtav Eliyahu, and this is a concept that we find often in Shas, that the Gemara says, Dibre Torah kolashim nei adam. And the Michtav Eliyahu explains, at least this is the way I understand. He says, when somebody, Rachman Letzlan, is blind, and you want to describe something to him, you try to use words that will be as descriptive as possible for this person who unfortunately can't see to understand and what you're trying to accomplish. Says the Michtam Eliyahu, the Torah is ruchnius. We as human beings are limited in being able to understand something which is as holy as the Torah, which represents pure ruchnius. So the Torah puts itself, describes or uses words that we as people who are not so connected to Ruchnius, we'll be able to understand what the Torah is telling us. Ask the Gemara, by Rav Chama bar Ukva, cotton oral, and we have a cotton who's before the eighth day. Mahu l'soich b'shemesh al truma. The halacha is that may we use shemesh al truma to shmear him. We know throughout Shas, the halacha is regarding Yom Kippur, that the halacha is sicha k'shtiyah, that sicha, shmearing, is equivalent to drinking, based on a pasuk in Tehillim, where the pasuk in Tehillim says, v'tova k'mayim b'kirboi u'k'shemen b'atzmoisof. So ask the Gemara, here we have a child who is an oral, he's physically an oral, he never had a bris milah, and we're learning that everybody agrees that an oral can't benefit from truma. But this child is not yet 8 days old. And the Gemara's question is, before the 8th day came, is that considered an arelis? And therefore, since it's considered an arelis, makfa, this person will not be able to, this child cannot have any benefit from truma. Oi, an arelis that's here before 8 days is not physically considered an arelis, because if you're not obligated to have a bris milah, then he's not considered a oral. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Zeira, Toshma. Let's learn from this Braisa. The Braisa teaches us, it goes back to what we've been discussing, that somebody to be able to eat from a Karban Pesach, has to have his children, his sons, and his avodim having a bris milah. As the Torah says, Himaloi kol zocher v'oz yikrav la'soisai. Ein le'el shemila zocher b'shas asiya. I only would know that when you bring the Karban Pesach, you're not allowed to have an oral. Avoda b'shas achila. How do we know that if he shas achila, he's an oral, you're not allowed to eat from the Karban Pesach? Menayin le'itin sa'om shal zeh b'zeh v'sa'om shal zeh b'zeh. How do we know that both the time of bringing the Karban Pesach and the eating Karban Pesach, the person has to have had a bris milah, tamaloimer, oz yikrov lasoisoi. And then the pasuk says, v'kol evet ish miknas kasav, umarta oisoi oz yoichaboy. So we have a gzereshav of the word oz, l'gzereshav. That to have both times, this rule applies. Bishlamov, says the Gemara, that avodim shkachsla, this case that the Eved, that the person maybe did not have a bris milah by the time the Karban Pesach brought, but by the time it's eaten, he does have one, or he's supposed to have one. We can understand by an Eved, says the Gemara. Bishlam avadim mishkach slo, how could it have it? This the mishnas achila, the less the mishnas asiya. When he brought the Karban Pesach, Erev Pesach in the afternoon, he did not yet, this Eved Kanani did not yet belong to him. Since the Eved Kanani did not yet belong to him, he obviously had no obligation to make a bris milah on this Eved Kanani. Then, Erev Pesach in the afternoon, he bought this Eved Kanani. So by the time he needs to eat the Karban Pesach, Pesach by night, he owns this Eved Kanani. And the Torah is telling us that he has to have a bris in order for the owner to be able to eat from the Karban Pesach. That he bought the Eved Kanani between the period of bringing the Karban Pesach and actually eating the Karban Pesach. Ask the Gemara, El Zacharov, but when we talk about his own children, how could it be a situation, this the B'Shas Achila, that B'Shas Achila, they weren't obligated to have a Bris Milah, the less the B'Shas Asiyah. When must it be, Lavdis Yalit, that this child was born Erev Pesach in the afternoon after he brought the Karban Pesach? He was born Ben Asir L'Achila. So when he brought the Karban Pesach, the child wasn't born. When he's bringing the Karban Pesach at night, the child is already born. But the child didn't have a bris milah. He was just born. A bris milah is only done on the 8th day. From here we see that a reil shleib zmanoi, he's still considered an oral because a reil shleib zmanoi have a reilus. Because otherwise, what would be the issue? Amar Rava, says the Gemara, for Tezbera? Does that make any sense? That if you had a child that was born Erev Pesach in the afternoon, and he doesn't have an obligation to have a bris milah until the eighth day, so the parent didn't do anything wrong by not having made a bris milah on the child. So why would we say that the parent is prevented from eating the Karm Pesach because his child didn't have a bris milah? Himalo, didn't we learn? Himalo kalzoch amrachmana. The Torah says, do the bris milah, v'oz yakrav lal soysoy, and then bring the Karm Pesach. But here, v'hai, ask the Gemara, la bar milahu. He doesn't have an obligation to have a bris milah. Says the Gemara, that we're referring here to a situation that he would have temperature er Pesach when they brought the Karm Pesach. Since he had temperature when the Karm Pesach was brought in the afternoon, he was exempt from bringing the Karm Pesach. And then at night, the fever broke and he should have had a bris milah. Ask the Gemara, but Nesav Shiva. Shouldn't we wait 7 days? Isn't the halacha that if a child has a temperature, after the temperature breaks, yavira lo kol shiva, we wave to wait 7 days to make the bris. So it isn't yet the time to make the bris mila. Says the Gemara, the yavira lo kol shiva, that we waited the 7 days. So ask the Gemara, if we already waited the 7 days, so we should have made the bris in the morning. How could we say we didn't have to make the bris by the time the Karm Pesach was brought in the afternoon? Nemeli mitzafra, we should have made the bris in the morning. Answers the Gemara, right now we're assuming, being a nice lace. When we wait to have the bris mila, it's not just that we wait till the seventh day in the morning. We do it, we need 7 times 24. And since we have to have 7 times 24, the halacha is that the bris cannot be done. So sometimes the seven times 24 hours is after the Karm Pesach was brought, but before it's eaten. So here we've been discussing the halacha of Sicha Kishtiyah. The Briskerov says that not in all situations do we say Sicha Kishtiyah. Only by Truma, which Truma is, as we've been learning in our Shurim, connected to the Kedusha of Truma, says the Brisk Rav, when we're speaking about the Kedusha of Truma, there it could be an issue of Sticha Kishtiyah. And in fact, the Rambam paskins that a child before the time that he has to have a bris milah is not considered an oral, and you could smear him with Truma of oil, with Truma oil, with oil that's Truma. Says the Shemesh Shmuel, he says, how do we understand this? He says, a fruit, many fruits, explains the Shemesh Shmuel, have a peel. And many fruits that have a peel, we don't eat the peel. That doesn't mean that the peel is not good. Until the fruit is developed and it's edible, the peel is very important because the peel protects the fruit. Once the fruit is edible without the peel, we take it off, says the Shemesh Shmuel. Until the child is 8 days old, he has an arla, and that's like the peel on a fruit before the fruit is completely ripened, which it's a very necessary component of the fruit. Only after 8 days, the peel is no longer necessary. The arla is no longer necessary. And since we don't have to wait, so that's why the halacha is that it's not considered an arla. A question is, what this halacha, that if a child is sick, we have to wait 7 days. What is this, a halacha l'Moshe M'Sinai, or is it a drabonon? The Binyan Sin holds its halacha l'Moshe M'Sinai. Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach Zatzal in the Micha Shlomo says that it seems it's a gzeir drabonon to make sure that the child is completely healthy. So I saw that the Achroinim explain what's the nafkamina, a gevaldige nafkamina. We just learned that if you do a bris milah before the child is 8 days old, the bris milah is disqualified. You're supposed to do the bris milah only after the child is the proper age. So now, what would be the halacha if the child had a bris milah, a child who was sick, and we did not wait the 7 days. We made the bris milah before the 7 days are up. What would be that? Will we do, have to do the bris milah over again? We should have waited. If we say that it's halacha l'moshe m'Sinai, so this child is like a child who's not yet 8 days old. And just like a child who's not 8 days old, we may not do the bris milah. And if we do the bris milah, we have to do a toughest on bris. So too will be the halacha on this child. Whereas if it's only gzeir drabanan, yes, we should have waited. But if we didn't wait, it would not disqualify the bris milah. Ask the Gemara, Vatani Ludo, Ludo was the name of a chacham, the yom havrosoi ki yom havoldoi. So isn't the halacha that when we count these 7 days, we look at them as we look at the day that he was born? When we count the 8th day to do a bris milah on a healthy child, it's 8 days from when he was born. It doesn't make a difference what time in the day he was born. So isn't the same halacha? So how are you saying that when we brought the Karban Pesach, 7 times 24 hasn't passed? But when we're eating the Karban Pesach, 7 times 24 has passed. How's that physically possible? Once the 7th day in the morning comes, even though it's not 24 hours, 7 times 24, isn't Luda telling us that we should do the Bris Milah? Says Gemara, La'olam adif yom havrasa miyom hivaldoi. No. When we speak about the 7 days for the child to get better, it's different than from when he's born. When we speak about the 8th day from he was born, we don't need 8 times 24. But when we speak about getting better, then halacha would be and when he said doesn't mean that we have to wait. What it means to say is that we don't need to wait 8 days, just like we have to wait 8 days after he's born. However, in that way, it's different, because you only have to wait 7 days from when he gets better, not 8 days like for when he's born. But the 8 days, as soon as the morning of the 8th day comes, we make a bris milah. And by the Yom Havrosoi, we need to have 7 days times 24. Rapapa says a different situation. Kigoyin dekav ein aliyanuka. The child had an eye problem, and we can't do the bris milah when he has this issue. V'stapach b'ene b'ene. And then he got better between the time that the bris milah was, that the Karban Pesach was brought, and the bris milah is supposed to be done. And as Ritva explains, but haven't we just learned that you have to wait 7 days after a child who wasn't well to be able to do bris milah? So Ritva says, that's only when it's a serious ailment. When it's a serious ailment, we need to wait 7 days. Here we're talking about that it's not so serious of an eye disease. Since it's not such a serious eye disease, we need now wait 7 days. And the Shach says the way to determine how serious the eye disease is we use the rules of Hilchos Shabbos. If it's as serious that we would be mechal Shabbos, then we have to wait 7 days. If it's not that serious, then we don't have to wait 7 days. The Meiri has a different approach to this. The Meiri's approach is that only a fever, or Dar Zeruah says, only a chayli, only a sickness that affects the entire body, that's when you have to wait 7 days. Not for every disease or situation do we have to wait 7 days. Rav Amar, what's the case? The parents were in jail when the Karban Pesach was brought, and therefore we can't have any issue with them. Why didn't have the bris milah? They couldn't do a bris milah. But before the Karban Pesach is going to be eaten, they were released from jail. And therefore, that's why the halacha is that they are responsible to make the bris milah if they're going to want to eat from that Karban Pesach at night. So the question is, we learned that if one is prevented from having bris milah because he's an oinus, he's still considered an oral. So why is this child
not considered an oral. So Rabbi Chanan answers, there's a difference between milas atzmai, the obligation for a person to be able to eat the Karan Pesach. He has to have a bris milah, and the halacha that we're learning in our shiur about milas zachar v'avodav. He says, when somebody himself did not have a bris milah, he's considered tamei. And since he's considered tamei, even though it was onus, it was something beyond his control, he's still tamei, and he may not bring a Karan Pesach. But when it's talking about not himself, we're talking about Mila Zachar V'Avodov, as we're discussing in our shir. When we're speaking about Mila Zachar V'Avodov, we're not as strict. And if it's an onus, like the Gemara just spoke about, then we could be more lenient. It's interesting. The pasuk says, "V'chiyagi itcha ger v'asa pesach l'Hashem himal loy kol zocher v'az yikr v'lasoy soy v'kol arlo loyachabay." So, as we just discussed, there are two parts to this pasuk. The first part of the pasuk is speaking about milas zacharov, the family members having bris milah, and the second part of the pasuk refers to himself having a bris milah. Says the Seder Rishonim that even if somebody didn't have a bris milah, that we discussed also more than once in our Masechta, because of Meso Achav Machmas Mila, there's a disease that prevents this family having from Bris Mila, he can't partake from the Karan Pesach. So, as the Chasam Sofer, in learning this Pasuk, he asked, the Pasuk says, V'chiyogu itcha ger. Why, when we're speaking about the father who has to make a Bris Mila on his children, in order to be able to eat a Karan Pesach, strictly speaks about a ger. This halacha, that if you want to be able to bring a Karan Pesach, you have to make sure to have a bris milah, applies to a ger and applies to a full-fledged Jew. Second question he asked, this pasuk, as we just pointed out, seems to be changing the subject. The first part of the pasuk is referring to somebody who has to make a bris milah on his family members. The second part of the pasuk, as Rashi explains, is a person who can't have a bris milah, even if he can't have the bris milah because of an oinus, meisa achmas machas milah. Says the Chasam Sofer that this pasuk is teaching us a very big chiddush. He says, what's going to be an halacha if you had a ger who had several sons before he became a ger, and all those children died when he was doing a circumcision? They weren't Jewish. He was doing circumcision for them. Says, and now this ger became a ger, and after he became a ger, he has a son. Is the issue of Mesa Achmas Mila apply to that individual? Says the Chasam Sofer that no. Because since we learn, Gershon is Gai Kekotin Shanoi Ladami, what happened to his brothers, they're not his brothers. It's not Meso Achach Machos Mila, because they weren't his brothers. Gershon is Gaia Shekotin Shanoi Ladami. So therefore, says the Chasam Sofer, the whole Pasuk is talking about Meso Achmas Mila. Says the Pasuk that a ger has to make a bris mila on his zacharim and avodim in order to be able to eat Karan Pesach. And the exemption of Meso Achmas Mila doesn't apply here, because those brothers are not his brothers. Then the Pasuk continues to speak that if he wants to eat from the Karan Pesach, of course he also have to have a bris milah. Now, the whole pasuk, but according to the Chasam Sofer, is referring to a situation of meisu echav machmas milah. But that's only possible to explain the pasuk with the pirus speaking about a ger. Rav Nechemya Breidev, Nechemya Amar Kegoncha Tumtum, that this child had his makam orla covered, the nikra, and then Erev Pesach, after the Karan Pesach was brought, it was uncovered. The nimtza zocher bein bein, and now it's discovered that he's a zocher. So at the time of the Karan Pesach being brought, he was not. At the time the Karan Pesach being brought, he wasn't not an oral, and afterwards that he became an oral. Says Seder Rishonim, there are two points that we could learn. Some Rishonim explained the Gemara, the story of Rashba, Meiri learned the Gemara, that we're talking about a case where it's medically dangerous or impossible to uncover the Makom Hamila, and that's why he remains in this state. Other Rishonim take it a step further. They say that even if it was possible to do such a procedure, the Torah does not require that we do so. The Torah does not require that we should do so. Moreover, the Ar Zeruah says that we know that the chi of bris milah is a chi on the father. But here we see that when it comes to the Karim Pesach, it's different. Because the Gemara says, Kigon she'ov v'imay chavushim beis asurim. But why is the imay included here? Isn't the halacha, as the Gemara teaches us in Masech the Kedushin, that a mother is not obligated to do a bris milah on a child? Says the Chasam Sofer, say the Achronim, from here, in the Rishonim, I'm sorry, say from here, we see that even though she's not obligated to make the bris milah, but she still can't eat from the Karim Pesach if her children did not have a bris milah. But then the question is, if they're chavushim beis asurim, why shouldn't we have to make a bris milah? They can't make a bris milah. The halacha, another question is, so we should do it on their behalf. And the question that comes up, as I saw the Paiskim discuss, what would be the halacha if somebody was born, and the father assumed that on the eighth day he wasn't well or whatever, we won't be able to do bris milah. And the father is not, in the eighth day, let's say Shabbos, the father is not in town, he's far away, we can't consult with him to make the bris milah, and now it's the eighth day. Should we make the bris milah anyway, because it's the eighth day? Or maybe this Gemara is teaching us by saying, of chavushim beis asurim, that we're not allowed to do the bris milah without the father's consent. And therefore the question is, can we do the bris milah or not? So the Avni Nezer actually discusses this discussion, and he says that we are certain that every father wants his son to have the bris milah. Not only are we certain that every parent wants his son to have a bris milah, we're certain that he wants him to have the bris milah in the proper time. So even though the father's not here, and he's in a place at Shabbos, we can't contact him, still, we should make the bris milah on Shabbos, even though we don't have the express consent from the father. Rav Shabbia gives us a different example case. Kigoin shehoytzi roish hachutz l'prezdai. The child put out his head from his mother's womb 8 days ago, but he has not completely exited the mother when the time for bringing the Karim Pesach came, since he has not completely exited. We don't do bris milah, but before the time of eating the Karim Pesach at night, he will have exited the mother. Ask the Gemara, Umichai, is that physically possible? Vatanya, haven't we learned in the Braisa? Kivish yotzer la'avir olam. Once a child comes out to the world, niftach hasasim, his mouth, which was closed till now, opens up. V'nistam ha'pesuach, his stomach, which was open till now, that's where he was receiving his nourishment, closes. Imole came, and if that weren't to happen, and yochalich is a filoshachas, the child could not survive even for 1 hour. So how are we saying that this child lived like this for eight? How can we say that this child lived for this for 8 days? Says the Gemara. The case is hachamai skinen kigoyin dezante ishta. He had a fever, and since he had a fever, that's what kept him going. That gave him the nourishment. Ask the Gemara, ishta the man. What kind of fever are we speaking about? Ilay ishta the day. If we say that he had a fever, so then the halacha ought to be, asked the Gemara, kol shiva boy. We learned earlier that a child that has a fever, we have to wait 7 days until we do bris milah. Ella, it must be the zante ishta the imay, and therefore at the time of the Karim Pesach being brought, he was not mechuyev in a bris milah, and afterwards it was. When the child is not crying, if the child is not crying, he can't survive that way. But The Mavi, if he's crying, that causes his body to get heat, and that heat is what causes him to be able to live, even though he didn't come out from his mother's womb. The halacha is a tame, a Yisrael who became tame meis. The halacha is that in order for him to be able to catch him, he has to have the mei chatos of the eifah para spritzed on him on the third and the seventh day. Then he has to go to the mikvah, and then he's tar, and he's allowed to eat kachim. So ask the Gemara, what's going to be the halacha that if somebody who was an oral, what's the halacha? Does he able to eat kachim as soon as we have a bris milah? Or is the halacha that the question, and the oral has to have hazar? The question is, does he, because as we learned, the oral is a form of tumah. Does he can have the hazar before the bris or afterwards? Says, or does it only afterwards? Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Yaakov Mishum Rabbi Noah, oral makabel hazar. Even though a person is an oral, he could still already have hazar. Why? Says the Gemara, Shekem Etzim Bavaseinu. We find this by the time of Yeshua, that when Klai Yisrael went over the Yarden, Shekiblu hazar, they had this hazar from the contact, the Tumas Meis that they all had from all the people that died in the Midbar. Shein Arelim. The Bris Milah, they only had later. Shenemar, because the Pasuk says the Gemara, Am Olam and Ayadim Be'es L'Chadish Rishon, on the 10th day is when they passed the Yardim. Then Asar Le'Mali, they did not make the Bris Milah on that day. Shem Choshed Orcha, they were tired and weak from traveling. Hazar Emes Avalahu. Now, when was the Hazar done? Lav Kishen Arelim. It must be done beforehand. Because if they didn't have the Hazar until Yud Nissen, they would still be Tamei on Erev Pesach. Says the Gemara, Dima, indeed, Lo Erev Pesach Klal. They didn't bring the Karan Pesach that year. Says the Gemara, Lo Yisaka Daitach Diksiv. The Pasuk says there, V'yachtu B'nei Yisrael B'Gilgal, V'yasa So Pesach B'Abba Osu Yom L'Chodesh, B'Erev B'Erev Sirichai. Maskel Mazut, so Sutra asks, V'Dima, Pesach, the Karan Pesach, the halach is Tumah Hutra B'Tzibur. At the most of Klal Yisrael is Tameh, we're allowed to bring the Karan Pesach even though they're Tameh. So that year, the Pesach was brought when they were Tameh. Says the Gemara, Amalei Rav Ashi, Tareh Be'Egyim, Mol V'Tavlu. It says that they brought the Karan Pesach B'Tahara. So we clearly see that you could do the Hazar even though the person did not have even though he's still an Oral. In the act of the milah, there are two parts. There's the taking off of the foreskin. The first thing is we cut that arla, and then we take with our fingernails, and we take that skin, and we roll it back. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav by Yitzchak Amar Rav, Le'enet your prius milah Avram Avinu. The second part that we spoke about the prius milah, didn't happen by Avram Avinu. Shnema the pasuk says, "V'yaseh he Amar Hashem l'Yeshua say lechar betzurim, v'shuv malos bnei Yisrael sheinus." That was when the mitzvah pri was given, not before that. And the Miri says, "Why were there two parts to the mitzvah of milah? One is to take off the tum of the akum, and the second thing, one is to make him no longer a akum, and the other part is to make him into Yehudi." And the question is, why wasn't it given to Avram Avinu? Why was these two steps only introduced later? So I saw that the Ben Yoyada explains. We know that Avram Avinu waited to do the Bris Milah until he was commanded. Even though we know Avram Avinu kim kol ha-Torah kula, Avram Avinu did all of the mitzvahs of the Torah, Bris Milah he waited, why? Because the halacha is mitzvah v'oisa, it's better to do a mitzvah that you're obligated to do. So any mitzvah you could do before you're obligated, and then do it again after you become obligated. A bris milah, you don't have that option. Because a bris milah, you could only do once. So Avram Avinu, he wasn't commanded to do the priya, but he did the priya. Why did he do the priya? Because he wanted to show that he's doing the bris milah with both types of observance. One part he did mitzvah v'oisa, the part of the milah,
and that's why he waited until he became told to do it. And one part, he did the priya even though he wasn't told, to show we do mitzvahs even when we're not mitzvah v'aisa.
And he wanted to establish the mitzvahs milah, so important. He wanted to establish that that's the way a Jew does a mitzvah. V'dilma hanach d'leimo, maybe those that did not have a bris milah, that's who we're talking about. D'ksiv k'mulun kol am ha'yotzim ha'am v'kol ha'yulodim. So maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu told them to make a bris milah. But who says that the Torah was talking to people to have priya? So it says, Im Kain, says the Gemara, if that's what it means, my shuv, what did the Pasuk say, shuv? Ella lav al priya, that even though they had a bris milah, I didn't have a priya, and now they were told to have priya. Ask the Gemara, since you're saying shuv means that they're having the second bris milah, my shenis, what does the Pasuk mean to say when it says, v'shuv mul of Bnei Yisrael shenis? Says the Gemara, l'koshi soif milah tchilas milah, to teach us the matchilas milah, the removal of the orla is absolutely essential. Af soif milah, the priya is, or the tzitzim that are left over, if there's strands left over, they have to be removed, makambah. The Tanan, as the Mishnah indeed teaches us, Eila and Tzitzas Makas Mila, Basa Chayva as Roiva Atayra. Anything that's on the tip of the organ has to be removed. And if it's a Kayan that didn't remove it, and Eichel Truma. Om Ravina Vitema, Rav Yiri Ba'aba, Basa Chayva as Roiva Gavish Latayra. If you have flesh that's covering the tip of the Atara, if you have anything there, it's not considered as if the bris milah is properly have been fulfilled. Here we're learning the halacha of the mitzvah of milah, that the mitzvah milah includes milah and priya. So I saw that the gematria of the word milah is 85. The gematria of the word priya is 365, which is 450. The gematria of tain, give tzedakah. We learn from here, mol, if somebody promised to give tzedakah, v'loi para, but he didn't give, but he did not yet do paying off that, the halacha is that it's kilu loy mol. When you give tzedakah, it's not enough to pledge the tzedakah. You have to give the tzedakah. We know that when we make a bris milah, there are two brachas. One bracha is the bracha asher kishanu mitzayis tzvon al mila, and the other bracha asher kitzon mitzayis of v'tzivon al achnisa b'brisa shel Avraham Avinu. And it's very interesting. Normally, when we perform a mitzvah, we only say one bracha. Why over here do we say two brachas? But now we could understand, especially with the pshat that we gave from the Ben Yehuda, that since there are two parts to the bris mila, there's the mila and the priya, so each one of them has its own bracha.